So as Alex mentioned, Alex was very excited that we're not moving on from the Noam Eli Melech. He's too important to move on. So as we did run out of some stories about him, there's only so much we could say about what we know. And there's a lot of, we do have many more stories, but a lot of them are just stories about how great a tzaddik he was. They're very out there types of stories, which many Hasidic tales are like that. But I didn't think there was anything we could really learn about him so much. So we're going to move on from the stories, but to really get an insight of who he was, learning through some of his hanhagos and some of his writings would be very helpful to getting a good understanding of who he was. He wasn't just Stam a Rebbe, he's called the Rebbe of Rebbes. He created, as we mentioned last week, many, many other Rebbes to create their own dynasties. Now the problem is, the Noam Eli Melech is perhaps one of the hardest Sfarim that we have in Chassidus. Sfas Emes is even harder than that, but Noam Eli Melech is very, very hard to understand. The common theme throughout many of the pieces is the importance of being davik to a tzaddik. A tzaddik, being close to a tzaddik, brings you closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu, which is this concept of dveikus, the tzaddikim. That's a running theme he has throughout. But I don't want to read through any of his pieces because they're very, very challenging. So what I want to do is, first I was going to do the tzeta akatam, which means a small note I made reference to last week. A small note was 17 ideas that the Noam Eli Melech said one should really review every single day. Now, I was looking around where I could find the copy because my Noam Eli Melech doesn't have a copy of it for some reason in it. So I asked Rav Weinberger, he thought every single sitter has it. Now, that's not the case. I was looking through a lot of sidurim. I didn't find it in any sitter. So I guess the Chassidish Sfarim that Rav Weinberger uses, they do have it in it. So I did find it in a different, older edition of Noam Eli Melech in the Beis Medrash. They did have a copy of the Hetzokatan, the small note. But at the same time, they also have, even before that, which I'm going to backtrack now, tonight we're going to go through Hanhagos Ha'adam Me'arav HaMagid. We'll do that first tonight. Next week we'll go, probably the next 2 weeks, well, I guess next week's Purim. After Purim, the following 2 weeks, we'll spend on going through the Hetzokatan, the small note, the 17 ideas. So let's go through the Hanhagos of the Noam Eli Melech. Now, it's important when we encounter the writings of the Noam Eli Melech, the Baal Tanya. Rav Shneur Zalman said once that my Sefer, the Tanya, those who learn Tanya are quite familiar with that. It's known as the Sefer Shabbeinonim. That's the whole idea of explaining who a Beinoni is, what an average person is. So he says that my Sefer, the Tanya, is known as the Sefer Beinonim, a book of the average Jew. But the Noam Eli Melech is a Sefer Shel Tzadikim. That's what the Noam Eli Melech is all about. How to be a tzaddik? As I said, the theme throughout is all about being davik to a tzaddik. I recommend all of you to buy this sefer. It was written by Noam Eli Melech, but it was translated by Pini Farkas' brother-in-law from the shul, Tel Moshe Zwecker. He's a Talmud of Rav Weinberger. He mentions it in his thank yous. He has a beautiful set of editions. It's the Glazer edition. He has a Noam Eli Melech and many other svarim. It's in English. He takes the different pieces, he gives a little background, and explains the pieces al Torah, and then adds some stories about the different tzaddikim along the way. It's a very, very easy read. It makes it very, very pleasant. Okay. There's one more story I wanted to mention here before we go ahead. It's also brought down, it's very apropos this week's Parsha, but one is, my wife now is in her ninth month. So it's a big segula for a woman to have the sefer Noam Eli Melech. It's supposed to be a segula for easy childbirth. That's what's brought down. But they also mention that there is one parsha where there is no piece from the Noam Eli Melech. Anyone know which parsha doesn't have any piece, any shtickle on? No, close. It's connected though. It's Pekudei rather. Pekudei doesn't have any piece because his yartzeit is Chaf Aleph Adar coming up. That was the week he passed away. So they explain here, just as Moshe Beinu's name is from absent from this week's Parsha Tetzaveh, which coincides with his yartzeit, so too in the Noam Eli Melech, who is also missing that Parsha, any piece. Now there's a bit of a confusion whether that was intentional, or maybe the editor changed it around a little bit. This right. This week Moshe Beinu's yartzeit was today, right, and he's not mentioned in the Parsha this week. So too in Noam Eli Melech, his yartzeit is in 2 weeks, and he has no Divrei Torah on that Parsha that he was nifter during. So anyways, it brings down the Sefer here that some contend that really he did have a piece, but his son, Rabbi Eliezer, had changed it around in such a way and moved it to Parsha Vayakel, so it comes off that there was no Divrei Torah on that Parsha. Okay, Let's now go through the Hanhagos HaAdam. You have one page here, the first side. There are 21. I don't know if we'll get through all of them tonight, but let's see what we could do. So number one is extremely important. HaRishon, Rishon, Rishon. Now I was talking to Yirmi Ginsberg about this today, and he gives some shirim on Chassidus, and he likes to emphasize this point. This is a Rishon that the Noam Elimelech, the Rebbe of the Rebbe, has made it very, very clear what the number one thing to do is. Tzarech ha'adam lilmod gemara u'peirish rashi v'tosvos u'mefarshim kol echa lefi hasagaso v'aposkim achareim. You can't jump to the Chassidus. You can't jump to the Kabbalah. There's a whole growth. There's a ladder that you have to climb. And there always has to be an important balance. Sir Weinberger had mentioned to me a number of times, he knows certain yeshivas, certain shiurim, they spend a couple of hours learning Likutei Maran or whatever other sefer they're learning. He says those types of sefarim are meant to be an hour a week, maybe half an hour a day, whatever balance a person has. But to spend 2 hours in a morning seder in these sefarim, that's not what it's for. The ikkar is the Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos, Rishonim, and Aliba to Hilchos. That's the number one thing the Noam Elimelech writes. Umitchila, Yilmad Shulchan Orach Orachaim. You first have to learn Orachaim very, very well. And now this is something very, very important that the Chassidim had emphasized throughout their learning. Misnagdim, we learn. We learn, and we don't have such an emphasis on tefillah, and if we do have an emphasis on tefillah, it's usually not connected to Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah is the intellect, the tefillah is the emotions and the heart, the two different inyanim. We're lucky if we are able to have both. But to combine the two, Chassidus is very, very strong on that. Tzarech lispalel Hashem Yisbarach Shiyovo al ha'emes. We have to also daven that we're learning and we're paskening correctly. Now this is not really Chassidus, this is a Gemara in Brachos. The Mishnah tells us that before a person enters into the base medrash, there's a tefillah that you say that you shouldn't make any mistakes, and there's a tefillah you say at the end, thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for not making any mistakes. But a lot of us don't say it. When you open up any Gemara, it says usually an inside cover, a tefillah, most people don't say it, myself included. But it was very much emphasized that one should it. It's a halacha. I should be saying it. We should all be saying it. And that's one of the things he says right in the beginning, daven. Because if you can't daven, if you're not davening for it, you're not going to have any siyata d'shmaya. Kichatas ha'ni'urim shel ha'adam harishon, the sins of the earlier, the time periods of Adam harishon, misamin einav shelo yireh. It blinds the eyes so we're not able to see. Our vision is very blurry. We're not going to have a true outcome. Af sheyachol lepalpel, we could be great lamdanim, we could ask good kashas and terutzim back and forth, making lamdas, ulahagid lacherim dino, and tell others, aval hu ba'atzmo shocheach. But he himself forgets. Now, one thing for a guy to give a shir to everyone, tell them what to do. But to actually live that way, even though you could be a great magid shir, but to be cognizant of all the halachas while you're living life is a whole other thing, and that's very, very hard. Below mekayimam be'emes, and you're not going to, although you gave a great shir, when it comes down to it, you may not be able to think about it and fulfill those halachas. And lachain, therefore, tzarech ha'adam lischarid me'od alavonosav, a person has to regret, be remorseful of all his sins, and to wake up early to have hispodus time by himself and think about things before the sun rises. That's the time we're supposed to cry that the Shechina is in Galus, that we're in Galus, the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Many of us don't do this. It's a big inin to do this, of course. Wake up early in the morning, late at night. Tikkun Chatzos. The Yivke, it's brought down Shechon Aruch. V'yivke b'demos, and we should cry with tears. V'gam b'yom l'pamim yisbodid, also during the daytime, to have time by ourselves and to think. And through that, v'oz yira b'atzmo she'omdu avanosav neged einav, then we could see our sins in front of our eyes and have charata. That's an amazing thing. You know, I'm not trying to put anyone down here, but I imagine no one here wakes up early in the morning to cry or spends time during the day to cry. I imagine in the world there's a small percentage of people who could even get to that level. Now, those who learned in HaKotel were zocha to see this with Rav Nevensal. Rav Nevensal, if you could catch a glimpse of him, he'd walk. It was the afternoon. I don't remember exactly what time, but it was a little bit, I think, after Mincha, maybe. Before Mincha, there was a window. If you mean that main lobby, and there's a window, you could see the Kotel right from that window. And you see he'd put his elbows on that windowsill and look down. And if you get close enough, you could see tears dripping down his cheeks. So that's a whole other level that we want to get to. We're not quite there yet, But that's the idea, that a person should really think about the Churban Beis HaMikdash, the Gullus of the Shekhinah, how we're in Gullus yet. That's a goal, and if we could think about all the sins we've done and take it seriously, we could get to that point.
What was the connection that he brought down from the Chatzos and Harishon?
That you're just saying, the fact that the Adam Harishon brought sins into this world, so that now had brought this blurriness to our vision, blurriness to our thinking, and therefore the only way we could think with a Yashar and an MS is only with Tefillah. Had Adam not sinned, everything would have come very natural to us. It's similar to now that we're Parshas Kisisas next week, and the Cheta Egel, the Gemara Nedarim says, had the Cheta Egel never happened, we would have had just Chamishe Chumshe Torah and Sefer Yeshua, because everything we could have been so clear to us, we wouldn't need anything more. We could have learned Breishis and Shmos, and everything would have been so clear. Mishpatim, we wouldn't need Baba Kama, Baba Metziah, Baba Basra. Our vision would have been so clear, but after Cheta Egel, again, our vision became blurred, like with Chayt Adam Rishon, and we need to learn more Besachtas. We have to have Torah Shabbat Peh in order to help us get right on the right path. So continuing now in Os Aleph still. We should envision our sins as great mountains. Hashem Olam lo zachar osam imasa kacha. Kacha yase lo pam lo shayim lo mea pamim. We should do this not once, not twice, not three times, but we should continue to envision our sins as mountains. Adasher yirachamu alav min hashemayim until Kadosh Baruch has rachmanis on us and grants us slicha and mechila. V'yispalo, again, the emphasis on tefillah. L'Hashem yisbarach, shiadricheyu baderech, that Kadosh Baruch Hu should put us on the proper path. V'yoreyu darko, to show us the right way to go. Shlo yivala chayi chayev, that we shouldn't let our life waste away. V'oz Hashem yisbarach, birachamav, uvrov chasodav, yoyir einav, be'or taraso, HaKadosha, he could enlighten us, show us the Torah Kedusha, v'yovin v'yaskil tochen hadavar la'asos l'kaima, in order for us, the ultimate goal is to learn Hashem's Torah, to understand the Torah, and to follow the path. So through all of this, we're going to come to fulfill the Torah in the right way. And those who are interested, by the way, in this English Sefer, he in the back has a very nice translation of the Hanhagos, along with the small note, if you want to take a look there, they have it. Also in Rabbi Arya Kaplan's book, he doesn't have a translation of the Hanhagos, but he does have a translation of the Tzetel. There we go, the Tzetel HaKatam. He has a translation of that as well in Rabbi Arya Kaplan's book. That's Os Aleph.
What's the unifying thought in Os Aleph?
The idea is simply that a person has to daven to Kadosh Baruch Hu to be able to see things b'yashus. Fine. Os Beis. Now, everything he's saying here, there are not many chidushim. It's just things that he emphasized in his life. As you said, that first point, there's no chidush there. It was davening. It was learning. There's no real great chidushim. It's just things that he really thought was very, very much important. Like, it's brought down that if you ever learned Rav Chaim Kanievsky's Orchos Yosher. Orchos Yosher is a small black book that Rav Chaim wrote. It's on Musar. In the beginning, he has an Akdama, quotes the Gemara in Brachos, that says each generation has certain things that require constant chizik. So he's a list of, I think, 21 different areas where he found from the various shilas he's been getting over the years, what he felt what area requires the most chizik. Now, if you write a Sefer Musar, it could be endless. So these are, I guess, the 21 things that Noam HaLemelech felt was most important. Os Beis now. Eila dvarim tzarech lizayir. The following things you have to be very, very careful on. Now again, you could make a whole list of things to be careful. But what he felt was most important in his door was mechanufa, from flattery, umishkarim, from lying, vleitzonis, wasting time doing silly things, going to movies, lashon hara, vikina, jealousy, visina, hatred, v'sacharis, which is competition, v'kas, anger, v'gaiva, and u'milstakil b'noshim, looking at women, u'milaharbos sichemisha, from talking excessively to women, afilu im isho amruchule, the mission of us tells us, u'bifrat, and specifically v'eis nidasa, tzar chachaku, you have to distance yourself even more. So again, there are no chidushim, these are things that, areas of all our lives that require constant chizik. Okay. Os Gimel. This also is not any chiddush here. V'yizkor tamid yom hamisa. The Gemara itself tells us, the mission Avos tells us, always remember the day of death, yom hadin, what's going to be. We're mortal. The time's going to come. We're not going to be here anymore. You know, life is short. Do what we can now in accomplishing Torah and mitzvahs. Uchsheyilmad Gemara Oshar Svarim Lo Yafsik. A person, when he's learning, whether it's Gemara or any other sefer, he should not interrupt. Shelo Yavur Al Divrei Chazal Shadar Shal Kotvin, quoting the Mishnah Avos, that a person who interrupts his learning to appreciate the weather, to appreciate the outside, that person, the Mishnah says, Chayv Misa. V'yispalel, again, he adds in the emphasis on tefillah, V'yispalel l'Hashem Yisbarach sheyilmad Torah l'shma. To learn, not only to learn to have a correct psak, but to learn also the ability to have l'shma, that you're learning not for yourself, not to be called a Talmud Chacham, not to be called a rabbi, not to be looked for any honor, but you're simply learning because the Kadosh Baruch Hu told us we're supposed to, and you're trying to understand Hashem. Now, there's one thing I would suggest to walk away from tonight's discussion, is that the key of learning and success in learning is tefillah. Myself, I'm going to try, bli neder, to when I open up in the morning, my first time when I learn in the morning, to open up and say that tefillah in the morning. And now at the end, it's much harder, but also when you leave the base medrash to try to say the tefillah afterwards, that's one thing I think we could at least walk away with from tonight. There's more, though. Ozdal, he says, V'yasog be'ema u'be'yira be'eza sifrei musr b'chol yom. How many people here, without the show of hands, really learn musr every single day? Who does that? Don't raise your hands. I hope we do, but...
Did you say who needs it?
Who learns it? We all need it, of course, but who learns it? So this is everyone says this. The Mishnah Berurah, points out how the importance of learning musr every single day. So to every single day, Yasak be'emo v'yira be'eza sifrei musr b'chol yom. Bereshis Chachma is the name of a sefer, and the Shlaz Svarim b'chavos halavavos. And we're talking this week, who's in the Chabur here? I guess Moshe and I were talking this week. Yirmi's a little bit in the Chabur still. So we were talking about, revamp it a little bit after Pesach. We're talking about maybe breaking up in different things. We're talking about Mishnah Berurah, like the first 10 minutes do Mishnah Berurah, then afterwards Gemara. So as I was learning this today, I thought maybe we should really do 10 minutes, maybe 5:50, do a 10 minutes in Musar, and 6 o'clock to 6:10 in Mishnah Berurah, and then we'll work out a Gemara, 6:10 till Minyan. So that's another thing. So we should walk away from tonight davening before we learn that we should be matzliach in our learning. Number two is we should pick up a sefer Musar, whether it's a Chabura or you're on your own, a little bit, a small two, 3 minutes a day in Musar. Okay, the next thing, I would say this is a chiddush to some people here. This is a chiddush. Ulapamim yulmad be'emo b'mat. So a person should learn a little bit. Ezek savim mehari zetzal. So how many of us have actually opened up an Arizal? Looked at Kisvei Ari. So Noam HaMelech says it's important to just a little bit, he's not even saying every single day, once in a while to open up a Kisvei Ari, to learn a little bit about the Ari. V'chol zeh, all of this, is be'ema u'v'yira u'pachad Hashem. When you open up that Kisvei Ari, you're not going to, your eyes won't burn from looking at the Zohar or the Kisvei Ari. But when you're engaging in the Kisvei Ari, you have to enter into that world with tremendous amount of trepidation, e'ema, yira, and pachad. The Doras HaRishonim, the earlier generations, Hayu Nishmoseim Nishamos Kedoshos. The levels of Nishamos that preceded us were much higher. V'hayu Nishmarim Minareim Mekol Chet V'Avon, from the time that they were young, they were completely separate from any sins and averos. V'hayu Nishmoseim Ru'uyin U'Misugolin Lilmod Chachmazos. They were very capable and fit to learn such a high level Chachma. Aval Ata now, this goes back a couple hundred years, the times of Noam HaElimelech. Bava Nusenu HaRabim, Sheyesh Lanu Guf Acher, we have an ugly body, V'chomer Av, a very thick skin, Tzorech HaAdam L'Zakech U'Lechabes Asmo Mikol Chet U'Lezakech Nishmasa. Person needs to clean himself, wash his body out from all sin to purify the Nishama. V'yavin HaAdam Imzikech Nishmasa. A person will understand if and when he cleans his nesham out, kasher en yetzahara misisa. He'll know what's the sign that he's clean, when the yetzahara no longer is misisa, is no longer trying to get him lishtus to do something silly, vavolim, things wasting time, and averos kasher betchila. Once you feel like it's not being affected anymore, not being affected by yetzahara, that means you won the game. Va'oz, at that point, yuchal lilmod b'chol pam haksam. Then you can learn it more frequently, the kisvei ari. Hashem Yisbarach Yizakehu im Yizakech Machshevaso B'Kedusha Be'emes U'B'Tamim. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by cleaning your body, cleaning your Machshava, Sheyiftach Lo Sharia Chochma B'Kisvei Arizal, he's going to open up your mind to that whole other world. It takes you to a whole new level. Asher Lo Kein Kolz Man Shem Lubash B'Taivos Gufnios B'Havli Zman, that you cannot really understand fully if you're wrapped in the world of Taiva and the world of Gashmias. Shalimud Koshalamod, it's very hard, not impossible, but it's very, very hard when you're really involved in the world of Gashmias, Chas Vishalom. Those who really want to engage in the process, how to get to a body and Machshav that's clean, you should learn, maybe together we could learn this at one point, in the Shari Kedusha, written by Rav Chaim Vital, the Talmud Muvak of the Arizal. He goes to the Shari Kedusha, the different levels of how a person is also a Sifrei Musar, how a person gets to cleaning himself, cleaning the neshama, the machshava, the body, and the dibor, to engage in this world of the kisveri and the kabbalah and the zohar. Nowadays, we're not as makbid with these inyanim. There are those who said a person should at least go to the mikvah before learning kisveri or other sifrei kabbalah. Others are not as makbid about that. We're in a different time period. The Zohar writes, at the end of times, kabbalah is going to be a little bit more available, accessible to people to learn. So you don't have to necessarily go to the mikvah, but things have changed from the times of Noah Emily Melch, but ideally one should really, in general, a person should always work on themselves. But it's not necessarily anymore a prerequisite for getting into this world of Kabbalah. Okay, Osvav. The Noam El Melech writes, Tzarech ha'odom lezakech gufo v'nafsho b'limud kanal. A person should cleanse himself both in body and neshama through learning. B'limud ha'gemara v'tosos. It's very simple. When you learn, that learning itself takes you to a whole other level. The Ari writes in many places the various tikkunim for certain averos. Sometimes Rama will bring down, if a person does an avera, what's the tikkun for that avera? And there are many tshuvas about this. Now, a common shaila that comes up, Rav Asher Weiss is a tshuva about this and many, many others. A person happens, unfortunately, often. A person goes to get his tefillin checked at the age of 45, let's say. And the sofer opens up and he says, these tefillin are apostle. They're probably apostle since you were 13 years old. Okay. So now this happens. So the question happened to you? All right, you have to throw it. Okay.
Glue in the butt or something. They put glue.
There's glue. So we're a different psula. I had also mine. Mine wasn't apostle, but mine, there's one thing bidyevit about it, so I had something fixed. So the question is, what tikkun does one do for not having worn tefillin, from the past 22 years? So it's discussed. So one of the big tikkunim, of course, is learning. Mishnah Berurah talks about, if you learn one daf of Gemara, so if you want to now really do a tikkun for Averos, now do two daf of Gemara. Just extend what you're learning, how long you're learning. Learning Gemara is a way of cleansing the body, cleansing the neshama. But he writes also, Gam divrei agada shebegemara hema misugalim meod lezakech nishmasa. Divrei agada, which in yeshivas, those who went to yeshiva know that it wasn't something that was emphasized. It was something that was skipped over and was considered almost a waste of time, and you could learn it on your own. So divrei agada is a very, very powerful thing. It also has that ability. Now this is not a shir in divrei agada, but certainly the chassidim did emphasize learning Agada. Most of the Chidushim we have, with the exception of the Sfas Emes and a few others, most of the Chidushim on Shas we have is on Divrei Agada. Because you can't really understand Divrei Agada unless you're learning Chassidus or Kabbalah. It's all Kabbalah. Even the Rambam writes, if you look at the Hakdama to the Ein Yaakov, the Rambam writes that there is hidden sod in the Divrei Agada. But the problem is the Lamdanin don't know the sod, so they can't really dissect it. So, the Lamdan Rav Shechter, for example, so he admits openly he doesn't learn the Zohar or any Kabbalah. He's not against it, he just doesn't understand it. So when he learns Agada, he tries to pull out what halachas can be learned from certain stories. So I remember when we learned at Sanhedrin, the whole Maisa that Rabbi Eliezer, he was a Menuda. They had placed him in excommunication because of a whole Maisa that happened. And he happened to be wearing tefillin at the time. And there's a whole interesting ma'aseh at the end of a parak in Sanhedrin. So on the Kol Bechina, Rav Shechter asked, so what halacha do we learn from that story? And there was a halacha to be learned, that even though that Rabbi Eliezer was a menuda, he was placed in excommunication, he's allowed to wear tefillin. Because the Gemara Mori Katan is a safek, whether menuda could wear tefillin, so we learn from this story that you can wear tefillin. So that's the perspective of a posek, how you read Divrei Agada. But the perspective of a chassid, so the way you learn Divrei Agada is there's much more meaning and there's depth. Whether it's going through the spheros or whether it's simply a story of Musar, it's a whole other perspective which was emphasized and is emphasized by the Sifrei Chassidus. Now that's of course not to ignore the Divrei Halacha as well. That has to, you have to learn both Halacha and the Agada. Some people assume that since there are not so many svarim of Chassidus on Halacha, they didn't know any Halacha. That's what many assume. So the Misnagdin, who they love the Sfas Emes. Why? Because Sfas Emes has Al Torah, things they don't understand, but he also writes great Chidushim on Shas. He has beautiful Lamdis, who many times be Mechavin to Reb Chaim Mibrisk. So they love Sfas Emes because he knew he was a Lamdin. So they give him a lot of respect. But someone else who has no svarim on halacha or a gemara, they assume they didn't know anything. But that's certainly not true. Just because there are no svarim doesn't mean they don't know anything. They just didn't write on that. Okay. O Zion. The yishmor atzmo me averos, a person, well, it's already 9:30. A person has to be very, very careful from averos. Of course, it's an obvious one. Me hirurim raim v'chol ofen v'ofen, and avoid having any bad thoughts. Next one, O Zches. The Yishmar Atma Milisno Shim Adam Yisrael, not to hate anyone, of course, Kim Harasham, it's a Rasha, then you could hate him. Shino Darmlo Bibera, that you know for sure that he's a Rasha. Sheef Shala Dunim Lakaf's Chus, there is no other way to judge him favorably. Now I just refer you to the Berdichever, who would never be stuck in such a situation. He could always find another angle to look at a case. He's always down the Kaf's Chus. The Chol Sheef Shala Dunim Lizachos, anyone, any angle you could somehow think of, a Dan the Kav's Chos, Mechuyav Le'ev Kenafsho B'chom Odo, you have to love him with your entire Nefesh, B'gufo U'Kenafsho, like he's one of your own, L'Kayin V'Hafta L'Re'echa Kamocha. Okay, this next one, Os Tes, is a Halacha, but he just emphasizes a lot more than it's brought down in a Halacha. The Yishmor Es Atmo Miladaber Shem Dibur Kod Matfila. Our halacha is you shouldn't be greeting anyone before you daven. But he says not to even say a word, koda afilu davar echad, even one item, one word would be a violation of this hanhag of his. Kizeh mevatel kavanas hatfila. Again, I don't know what that means exactly, but according to the Noam Elimelech, one word before davening will somehow ruin the kavanos. I don't know how Machbid, Weinberger is and others and other Chassidus, but this was something very important because, again, the tefillah is a very strong emphasis in Chassidus. Oz Yud, this is another way of strengthening tefillah. V'yizahir l'nako, says asma, a person should relieve himself kodma tefillah v'kodem suda, before eating, before davening. Gam b'chol pam shetarach l'nakavav, whenever a person needs to use the bathroom, shelo l'hashos, he shouldn't delay. This is a halacha, it's perhaps an issa deraisa v'yavor al bal tishaktu. Osir, let's do two more. Osir alf. V'yizahir sheyihu begadav, you have to be very, very careful that the clothing, hakasones, hamechnasayim, the shirt and the pants, Menukim milichluch, has to be clean of any type of dirt, v'tzoa, u'shvich azera, chas v'shalom. I'll just mention a story now. I mentioned last night, I was somewhere. I mentioned this before in the shul once. But one time Rav Yashiv was, many, many years ago, he was working for the Israeli government. He was working at the Bezdin. And he was getting paid. As when you work in the government, you get paid. So he had a job once upon a time as a dayan. And many of the number of Haredim and Meir Sham who were very, very displeased with Rav Yasha, because by him taking money from the state was a way of him acknowledging the state. And they were not very pleased with him. So one day Rav Yasha is walking home from his work, from his job, from the Bezdin, and a certain Haredi goes over to him and throws three eggs at Rav Yasha. So Rav Yashu was very, very makbid on this halacha. It's also a gemara in brachos that a Talmud Chacham cannot walk the streets outside with any dirt, any stains. So he stopped walking immediately. He took out a handkerchief, and slowly Rav Yashu started to clean off the eggs that were dripping down his coat. And the individual who threw it at him was staring at Rav Yashu in this embarrassed with eggs dripping down, and just waiting to see what Rav Yashu is going to do. And he calmly just cleaned himself off. And finally, when he was done cleaning off the three eggs, he looks up at the individual. And Rav Yashiv says, I give you a bracha that you should be too busy to ever do this again. Happens to be, this individual was not zochah to have any children. It had been many, many years. And the next year, his wife gave birth to triplets, the three eggs. So, okay.
Wow.
Okay, so let's go right to now. Oshud Beis. The Noam HaLemelech writes, well, again, we'll stop after this one. Lo yatil ema yisera bisoch beiso. A person should not, have too much fear. It's a Gemara in Bava Metzia, that a person shouldn't have too much ema in his house. Never have any hakpada in the house either, which is a very, very challenging thing. I'll bring a story at the end with the Noam HaLemelech about this idea of hakpada. If he does have any hakpada on any people, he's very what's a good definition of hakpada? An issue with anyone. Oh, al davar echad yiskor miyad chataos nurav. He should remember you were once human also. You also sinned when you were much younger. The yomer believe on say in your heart, ein ze kim avonosai vehevyuni lidei hakpadazu. You know why I'm so upset at this guy? Not because he did anything wrong. It's my own flaw. I did some aveira when I was younger, and now that's really rubbing me the wrong way. That guy is doing that aveira that I used to do. Think about yourself, and it's really your issue, not his issue. V'chein b'chol davar yizkor miyad chatosav. This way, a person should always constantly think of his sins. Through that, it's going to humble you, it's going to break your yetzara if you constantly remember how weak you are and were in all your sins. So it's brought down many stories like this when a person wants to give a patch to a child for doing something wrong. Really, that my son did something terrible, he deserves a patch. My daughter did something terrible, she deserves a patch. So they say, so it's why? It's a mitzvah. The Gemara Mako says if the kid needs discipline, you have to hit the kid. It's a Gemara. So you say, okay, if it's a mitzvah, so what you should do is put in your gartel, right? Say l'shem yuchud, and do a besimcha. Because if it's really a mitzvah, so first wash your hands, and when you do a besimcha, so then that proves you're doing the right thing. But if you're doing it out of anger, out of hakpada, that's not l'shem shemayim. If you're doing it because of a mitzvah has to be done besimcha. So I read recently a story that there was an individual who wanted to divorce his wife. He went to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, and he told her him what happened. And he says, okay, you can divorce her, that's fine. So he turns around, he's walking out. Chaim says, just don't forget, do it besimcha. He turns back around, he says, what do you mean do it besimcha? He says, well, get gerishin also mitzvah, isn't that? And every mitzvah has to be done besimcha. So when you're ready to do it besimcha, so then you can hand her the get. So he said, maybe I shouldn't divorce her. And he did not divorce her because of that. So even things that seem negative, hakpada, discipline, gerishin, all that has to be done b'simcha as well. So I'll finish off with one story here. The source of this is the Ol Elimelech. So it brings down here in English that on the second day of Yom Tov Shavuos, Rabbi Elimelech was sitting with his chassidim. He asked those gathered around, is there anything that we're missing from the table? And the answer would be, we'd like to drink from the Yain HaMeshumor, the hidden wine. There was some hidden wine we want to drink before the Yontif is over. So the Rebbe summoned the Hishamish and told him, take your water buckets and go to the cemetery gates and turn facing away from the graves and say, Melech has commanded that you give us wine from the Yain HaMeshumor. I don't know who he's talking to. Then take the buckets, bring them back to us. But take heed, whatever happens, do not speak to or answer anyone you might meet on the way home. You must ignore them. So this was the mission he was given. So the Shamish nodded and left to do the Rebbe's bidding. He did exactly as the Rebbe said. He traveled to the cemetery, stood facing away from the graves, and commanded that the buckets be filled with the Yain HaMeshumor. His mission accomplished, he returned to town. When he entered the town, he encountered a woman who asked for some of the wine to cure her sick child. Of course, he ignored her as the Rebbe had commanded, but within moments more people appeared with requests until there was a line of people following the Shamish, crying, imploring, and shouting at him to give them some of the wine. The Shamish walked faster and faster as he made haste to reach the Rebbe. When the Shamish entered the house, the people who had followed him made a grab for the buckets. Panicking, the Shamish cried out and finally said, go away and leave me alone. As soon as he said those words, he was makpid, he didn't have that self-control anymore. Someone hit the Shamish over the head, and both buckets of wine fell to the ground, and the special wine poured out and was lost. And the lesson here is, many times we all want to scream at our kids, scream at our coworkers, scream at our employees, scream at our employers, scream at our spouse. The idea is maybe we feel that way sometimes inside. But until you do it from a place of simcha, that's really Lashem Shemayim, then you shouldn't be doing it. Mitzvah Hashem, we should be zochah by learning the Nomei L'Melech to at least change some of our hanhagos, whether it's Divrei Musar every single day, whether it's Tefillah, whether it's Me'akpada, Bishrino, in the zechus of Nomei L'Melech, we shall be zochah to have Shalom Bayis and Shalom in the world, the Am Yisrael, with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, Mitzvah Hashem.
Amen. Okay. Amen.